Speaking of burning down things, got these dragons up here, Martin. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Martin at the beginning of the show, look, we've been trying to bring, we've been trying to train these dragons for three goddamn movies. Now, we got, something got to give. Either they're going to learn to behave, or we got to let them go or something. You know, this has got to end. And some people say, well, you know what, the third time is a charm. Supposedly, I mean, even though we've had tons of shows, we've had straight to video or streaming movies.
Yeah. Did they some of those?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think How to Train Your Dragon was on Netflix. Was it? What? I'm not sure. It was. Yeah. Yeah. It was a few TV shows.
Oh, a few okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so, but as far as the, you know, the big ones, the theatrically released movies, mm-hmm. they say that, okay, this is all part of the plan anyway. This is a trilogy.
Right.
Tell you what, you get to give us one more chance to get these dragons in line, and we're going to be done. And in this one, you know, there's something that goes with training these dragons and getting them to trust you, forming a bond, you know, actually falling in love with these dragons. Thing is, they're dragons, Martin. You know, at some point, even though they might behave, humans are always going to be assholes, Martin. And you're not going to stop hunting the big game.
Yeah, humans and giant lizards just don't mix.
Just don't mix, man, even when they're good. You know, Jurassic Park, they eat dinosaurs eating everybody. These dragons are nice. They living side by side, but there's always some asshole that has to hunt them down for a trophy or their pride or ego. Three movies in a row. That's why they finally said, you know, hey, dragons, it ain't y'all. It's us.
It's us.
We got to end this. We got to break up. And don't look, we ain't just going to put y'all out in the cold. We're going to find a place for you, a hidden world where we can't be there with you in the promised land, but
we'll get you there.
But we'll get you there, and dragons will live in peace. And that's why a lot of people are dreading one of the greatest cinematic love stories of all time, Hiccup and Toothless. Is this the one where Hiccup and Toothless will actually have to say goodbye, split up each other for the well-being of everyone? Let's go ahead, and you know what? And even if that's the case, damn, boy, I mean, when these movies used to be fun, now y'all getting kind of deep, kind of making me feel a little heartbreak. Is that good or bad? Does it even happen? Let's go ahead and take a look at this trailer for How to Drain.
Yeah, I don't want to look at your search history.
Well, Martin, I have a script for a porn version of this.
I think you're too late.
Gotta stop doing that. How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, and we'll be back with our review.
This is Berk, son. It was the home of your grandparents and their grandparents before them. But out there, beyond the edge of the world, lies the home of the dragons. And I believe it's your destiny to one day find this hidden world.
You do know my leg isn't a chew toy, don't you? Is this what you want? Yeah, go get it. How am I supposed to get down? Hey, bud, wait up.
Well, I started out all alone.
He's not the only one.
Another Night Fury.
But I ain't got wings.
It's more like a bright
A fury. Light Fury.
Yeah, yours is better, probably.
You know, that's what I love about this. It gets to a point where Toothless just looks at Hiccup and say, are we fucking?
Right? Is the answer no?
The answer no?
Bye-bye.
Mean, yeah. You mean there's something out there that wants this? Goddamn right, I'm leaving yours.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
You know I was just around because you were feeding me. We were never really friends, right?
I could have ate you at any time.
Yeah.
Well, the good old days.
There is an armada with enough cages for all of our dragons.
They are Peter.
This is a new kind of enemy. We need to find the hidden world.
I will destroy everything you love.
Toothless, no!
You see, neighbor.
You're nothing without your dragon.
If Grimmel succeeds, there won't be any dragons left. And it's up to us to put an end to it.
So, What are you gonna do about it?
Suit up, gang.
Fire on you!
We have one shot at this.
You brought a baby to a battle?
I couldn't find a sitter.
The hidden world. It really does exist.
Now that's a king.
You're right, bud. It's time.
Well, look who it is.
That's my man.
Yeah.
Not.
Knocked his ass out the picture real quick. I told you not to see him no more. You with me now. Positive note right here. From the very beginning. I did not mind Baruchel. I did not mind his voice.
You know what? I gotta say that this is the first time I didn't either.
This is the first time. I mean, you know, because for the last two movies, here's the thing. I can never take. Maybe in the first movie when we meet him and he's a nobody,
right?
Still kind of the nerdy outcast of the village.
It kind of works, even though it's a bit grating.
Yeah, but you know, we got Jay Baruchel sounds like he's always talking through his nose and. I could never take him as a leader, man. I could never take him seriously as a leader. So when he was on the come up at the end of that movie and by the second one where everybody's listening to him, I couldn't buy that. I couldn't buy that at all. But this, you know, and especially with that name, man, you know, Hiccup.
Yeah.
It's like, brother.
But that sounds like a slur. Like, yeah, this is because we don't respect you, so we call you Hiccup.
Yeah, Hiccup. Hiccup ain't a leader's name. You a sidekick. Uh-huh. Hiccup ain't even a human sidekick's name. That's like the comedy relief dog, you know, in a Disney movie. Come on, Hiccup. and that voice that he had, man.
That voice.
Yeah. Don't you ever tell me what to do coming up here talking like this. Yeah. Now see what we're going to do. Now what you going to do is get the fuck away from me and shut up. Turn your narrow ass around and mind your own goddamn business. That's what you gonna do. Coming up here talking, I mean, like that. You gonna leave me the fuck alone is what you gonna do.
Goddamn, man.
No, I didn't like it. I'm not, I mean, the movies are
fine. I didn't like it either, but goddamn.
Look, because the thing is, I know it's all part of the joke.
Right.
But it wasn't funny anymore. By the time the second movie came around, you need to be a leader, man. Time for you to, first of all, change your name. It ain't Hiccup. No, I don't care what your name. Change it to Hiccup, the Dragon Master, or some shit. But you can't be taken seriously with Hiccup, and you sure can't be taken seriously talking like this. Be a man. Be a leader. You're going to do it. You're leading dragons.
Put some bass in your voice.
Put some bass in your voice. I couldn't stand it. But here, Hiccup. He actually, okay, the name ain't changed, but you know what I liked about the character and the writing in this movie is that by the time we get to the third film, and if you take a little bit of the second one, the character really does evolve.
Well, you know what? It's one of those things where with the second movie, they kill off his father, the leader. So he has to ascend to that point.
Yeah. No, he has to actually step up, man. And they do a great job by making him mature. And when you make him mature, you actually have evolved the character. You know, that's one of the things that sequels need to do. That's what comedies fall into when they make sequels. The characters always stay the same or they devolve.
True.
You know, and this being somewhat of a you know, it's a family film, so it's somewhat of a comedy too. It was nice to see that they actually matured the character. However, they also were able to keep a lot of his humor side there too. You know, it wasn't like they abandoned that completely. And in having him evolve and mature and being a leader, they also made him somewhat of a badass.
Now what you did.
You're a demon!
Shh, 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 shh. No, I'm not a demon. I'm not a demon. See? Dude, just a guy.
Okay, now you just had to ruin it.
See that's what I thought too, because it started out, I was like, all right, he's a badass now. But he was never a badass when he didn't turn around and do something like that.
Dude, I'm not a demon. It's like, your enemies are scared of you. That's the whole point. Go with it.
Yeah, everything that I just did, just building him up, he just completely ruined. I just told the people. Y'all don't know. This ain't the same Hiccup y'all knew back in the day. Shit, tell him, man. No, I'm still the same dude. Shut up, man. Fucking.
Well, the thing is, I mean, he is, you know, he has matured, but I was looking at it, I was like, you know, even he still looks like a Ken doll. I mean, even like later when he's got his facial hair, I was like, all right, now you look like a Ken doll with a beard. He kind of looked like Kenny Loggins, actually.
Yeah, you know what? I tell you what he looked like.
Danger Zone?
I'm going to find a Kenny Loggins. Yeah, he did. But for those who don't know, for those of the kids who don't know Kenny Loggins.
Oh, man, you kids don't know Kenny Loggins?
Here, I'm gonna show you what he looked like. Because they tried to actually mature him with that beard. And when he actually, like in the pictures, he looks kind of cool. But when he takes off that pimp coat and that he looks like a cracked out Jake Gyllenhaal.
Right. He does.
He does. Well, Spider-Man sees me.
Yeah, he's going to laugh his ass off. I take the way y'all tried. He got a beard now. No, he's still a bitch.
Yeah.
Look at my man hair.
Yeah, what about it? Be a man. Let me quit talking, man. Just it's that voice. I'm telling you, I don't like it.
You know what? What makes me laugh is that everything you're saying is what I was thinking the whole time. But I was like, I know nobody's thinking less.
No, I'm thinking it. I'm right there with, man. You know we look at things that people don't see. However, you're talking about, look, we were talking about how in the movie he does step up, man.
And
after that scene right there, you really do get moments where it's when the character has to make decisions. I mean, you know, I thought it was cool that they kept the character kind of the character that we know from the other movies. They didn't try too hard.
Right.
You know, they didn't make him do push-ups and get all, you know, big biceps and everything. No,
would have been nice though. I mean, he's a Viking, a Viking dragon rider. You think he could, you know, bulk up a little bit?
If I was a Viking, I'd tell him, man, like if I was his dad, I was like, you know, you adopted, right? You didn't come from
like,
this.
This is not going to work.
No, hell no.
There's I'm not
no,
leaving my kingdom to
your little
to this.
Narrow ass did not come from this sack right here. No.
You know why they call you Hiccup, right?
Yeah. Well, I always want a little girl. Tell you what, man, just put on a skirt and just tramp around. But no, you know, we say this with Hiccup, and Hiccup really is they really did, I like the way that they played with the character where they did not force him to be too masculine to actually be who he is. They you know, they really did say, like, leadership comes in how you think,
right?
Your smarts and also your confidence, because I've always liked that about the movie, that against all these other big Vikings, all these other big characters, all these other manly men out there and manly women. I mean, let's get every women. Look, really, every girl in the village could beat his ass,
yep,
too.
Easily.
But it's the confidence that he has. And I like that. And it actually shows, you actually believe that when he's telling people what they need to do, it's out of not because they can overpower him, but because they can respect him. And I really enjoyed
It's because he's smart.
Yeah, exactly. No, I really enjoyed this character, this version of the character that we had here.
Nothing's accidental when it comes to old Grimmel. He lives for the hunt, to get inside the mind of his prey, to control its every choice. It's all a game to him.
Well, he doesn't know who he's playing with.
Yeah, well, we've dealt with this kind before.
Don't underestimate him, Hiccup. Mark my words. He'll be back.
Then we'll be waiting for him.
Oh, you hear that? Now you got some bass up in there. They won't be waiting for him. Look for him.
I know. He's a bit overconfident in a lot of these scenes, yeah, actually.
But at least he's trying, man.
We'll be waiting.
Look, he mean mugging everything. Well, we'll be waiting on him.
Right.
You know what hurt for him to do that?
Drop his head to give the stare. Yeah. Well, we'll be waiting for him.
I'm not talking through my nose now. Well, actually, yeah, you are. But, you know. It's a little deeper. No, I really like that, man. And like I said, I'll be honest with you, man. The character kind of grated me through some of the other films. I finally feel like they got him to the point where I enjoy him.
Yeah.
But you know, again, that's me. I don't know. You might have liked him from the last movies too. I don't know.
No, I liked what his character was about in the first movie. But Hiccup himself, at least Jay Baruchel's voice, was a lot to take.
It was good in the first movie after a while.
But what I liked about his character was that he wasn't big like the other Vikings, but he was smart. He could create inventions. He was basically like, hey, you guys got all the brawn, but I got technology.
Yeah.
And this is what's going to win the day.
Yeah, and it is a movie about brains over brawn, and not even just, you know, brains as in I'm better than you. It's like, listen, you know, I being a leader is not just brute force. Mm-hmm. It's about thinking things through, and I like the way people respected him in that. Yeah. I even like the way he was, man, you know, I even like the way he was when he showed a tough side. He kept his humor. And I like the scenes that he had with his girl, who's voiced by American Ferrera?
Oh, yeah.
Or America Ferrera. America Ferrera. There's a few scenes where they, you know, they're sitting around, they're flirting with each other and they're playing around. And it feels, I liked it because it feels like a real couple, you know, in the early stages of love, a courtship and whatnot. I thought that it felt like, you know, for animated characters, man, it felt like an actual interaction between two people. Especially, you know, when you consider that these are two animated characters in a very fantastical setting.
Sure.
I thought that they got that down. And, you know, and speaking of tenderness in this movie and emotion, I like that they brought Gerard Butler back.
Me too, because I was actually upset that they killed him off in the second movie.
Yeah, you know, I was too. But
it's okay for him to have two parents. Why you got to do that?
Actually, I can through this movie made me see why they probably killed him off. But there were a lot of scenes in there. Well, not a lot, but there's two flashback scenes. And those scenes are with Little Hiccup and his dad, again, who's voiced by Gerard Butler. And those scenes were very moving, man. And I, you know, when I looked at that, I thought, you know what, with the evolution that you've done with this character and making this character more likable, it even made the flashbacks, they even pulled me in a little bit more. And it's just, you know, it's just really cool to see like this big, strong man just take his guard down for his son. I mean, mm-hmm. there's moments where he just kisses him on the head, he hugs him. And I was looking at that and I was, they talk about, you know, you talk about looking at scenes that bring out motherhood. I was like, shit, I'm going to go home make a baby tonight. I want to be a daddy.
But those sailors who turn back told tales of a great waterfall and dragons guarding the entrance to a hidden world. Wow. Not just a nest, Hiccup, but a land from which all dragons come.
Even Night Furies?
Especially Night Furies.
Those are scary.
Don't you worry. One day I'll find the hidden world and seal it up so that people and dragons will fight no more.
Boy, daddy instincts kicked in hard after that, especially when there were these girls behind me and they were like, every time they showed Little Hiccup, they were, and I said, shut the fuck up.
Tell you what, why don't you go watch the first movie again where he spends the whole time looking at his son going, oh my God, what a disappointment.
I know.
Hiccup, Jesus, man, could you help out? Put those gadgets away and come help us fight. You know what? Forget it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was so much disappointment. I liked the way. And you know what? You look at this, and it's so sad, too, because you could see there was so much hope in his eyes.
I know. So much promise.
He's like, my son's going to grow up big and strong like me. 10 years later,
hey, Dad! What do you think about my schematics?
Oh, fuck.
Fuck me life.
I should just feed him to the dragons and put him out of his misery. If the dragons don't eat him, the girls will. But oh, a little hiccup got to me, man. I'm glad there were some serious moments in there with Hiccup. I'm glad we had some tender moments in there with his dad. And his girl, because while he was getting serious, everybody else had nothing but jokes.
Yeah, and not the Guardians of the Galaxy type jokes. These are the lame old, just whatever gags we can throw together. You know, the thing is that first movie, I really love that first movie, except for two things. Mm-hmm. And that being Jay Baruchel's voice, as we've covered. But the other was the side characters. Because mm-hmm. I was like, man, every one of these side characters are just afterthoughts, and they just thought, well, we'll get comedians to do their voices. Kristen Wiig, TJ Miller, Jonah Hill, and that'll fill it in. And I always notice, yeah. Like, you know, that's the one thing about that first movie where they just really put no work into these side characters. But at least they're on for just a little bit.
and they're just kind of annoying, but whatever. But now in this movie, they're half the movie. And I was just like, all right, I can't take it with these guys.
Yeah, the side characters in this movie are, and the problem with the side characters is that they're all there for funny, not even just reactions.
No.
They're there for funny comments.
Uh-huh.
No matter how bad something happens, no matter how much they mess up, they always respond, "Whoa, did you see that?" You know, they're clueless about everything.
And they're anachronistic. They don't fit the time period.
They, you know, and I'm okay with that because Disney, you know, I mean, a lot of family films, characters act it's not unusual for characters to act like out of their time periods, to not even have the same accents in the region at the end. I mean, if that was the case, then everybody in the Jungle Book would be talking like that from Wakanda.
Well, no, Jungle Book's in India.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Wakanda's in Africa.
You're right. No, you're right. But, you know, but they ain't got no Indian accents either.
No, they do not.
All of them, you know, all of them sound like they are poo or something, but.
Okay, technically, and I know you're going to jump on me for this, but the Jungle Book is because India was colonized by Britain. And it's written by Rudyard Kipling, who writes a lot of those stories about the British colonization in that area.
Martin, I'm glad the way you're telling me, and that don't explain nothing about a bear talking about or orangutan. I want to be like you. You know? Scoop-op, de-beep, de-boop, de-boop. You know? I ain't got nothing to do with that region. I ain't got nothing to do with colonizers.
All right, I tried.
Skibbity-beep, de-boop.
Well, the Brits were obsessed with American music.
Sure. So Baloo had all the albums from the jazz age. All right. Yeah, man. Yeah, you in the Coltrane? Yeah. But I hear what you're saying. But you know, I don't mind that.
I know.
I have here is that no matter what danger is about, they don't have a proper reaction to it.
Right.
Everything, like either they're in danger. Are they causing danger? And the whole time they're like, whoa, oh, they got something to, yo, hiccup, check it out, man. You know, it's like that. No one is ever in fear about something.
Mm-hmm.
No one is ever treating the danger with urgency.
Right. And that's what gives your danger that urgency is how people react to it. And if you get people who are glib or seem to not be focused on it or oblivious to it, it takes the teeth out of it.
Yeah, you know, and I get it, man. You know, it's almost like they're making these characters this silly because they want to keep things from getting too scary. In the movie, they do have some intense scenes. I mean, you're messing with dragons, and in this movie. You know, when the villain comes about, not only does he have his own dragons, but I mean, he has some badass dragons he's got. They
spit acid.
They have scorpion tails and they spit acid, and they just leave destruction wherever they go. Like they're in the neighborhood, something burning.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is burning down, and there are intense scenes where they, you know, there's a lot of destruction going on around these characters, and I think kids can be, they can. Because this is still a family film, and it's a kids' film mostly, more than a family film in a right. lot of parts. And they want to keep, you know, and it's a silly kids' film too. They want to keep a certain air of silliness in there to let the kids know it's going to be okay, you know, it's going to be fine. The problem is that, like I said, it gets so silly that even for a kids' movie, I like to feel like there is at least a small moment of suspense
mm-hmm.
in there. But if your characters, they just got chuckles and they cracking jokes in every scene, even when the villain's around, well, I guess ain't nothing wrong. Y'all laughing.
Matter of fact, it seemed to be infectious because not only did you have those characters who were the comedy reliefs from the earlier movies mm-hmm. as comedy reliefs now, but even a bunch of the Viking warriors just seemed like they were, I don't know, oafs and comedy reliefs and clueless. And it turns into one of those things, and it happens in Disney movies a lot, where all the comedy relief characters mm-hmm. have to fight off the invading army, and suddenly somehow they got these skills, but they're able to beat people with pots and pans or just bumping into them, and it's always like they're beating them by accident, which makes you go like, oh, I guess these henchmen weren't that bad. Weren't badasses to begin with.
Yeah.
And yeah, that happens in this all the time, almost every fight.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell you something, man. I don't want to be mean spirited here. I hate to say it, but some of these characters are stupid. They need to die.
Yeah.
That you were jeopardizing the whole mm-hmm. village, the whole community.
Yeah.
You need to go. And I'm not even playing. There's this one scene in here where somebody, excuse my language, they fuck up majorly.
Majorly.
And
couldn't be any less concerned.
And nobody even turns around. There's not one moment that's like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Oh.
No, they're just kind of like, oh, well, that's your character. You know? It's what you do. You do stupid shit. if y'all laughing about it, it must not be too bad.
Uh-huh.
I'm not. If you're not worried.
I'm not worried. If you like it, I love it.
That's what my man said over here. Couldn't have said any better. I will say some of the humor worked well in some parts. I mean, when it was meant to be silly. Like, I was laughing at, what's his name? He was fat. Now he's kind of. He goes between being sexy and fat sometimes.
Oh, Jonah Hill.
Yeah, Jonah Hill, man. His character was Snout Cloud or whatever. I don't know why they made him that big, because he's actually the shortest one in the village.
Right.
I love that he really did have the short man's complex.
Uh-huh.
He just, everybody was taller than him. He was just like a little chihuahua, always pointing at him, I'm watching you. And people just like, get the fuck out of here. He just cast him aside.
And trying to hit on Hiccup's mom the whole time.
Well, can you blame her?
No, I cannot.
Got the voice of Kate Blanchett and the body of every fine chick out there. It's like, yeah, man. It's like, that's Hiccup's mom.
I know.
And you look at Hiccup's mom and you look at Hiccup's dad, and it's like, what happened to you, man? You really are adopted.
Like, tell the truth. That wasn't his dad.
It was not, man. No.
Yeah, it was. And that Hiccup was some night you spent with somebody.
Yeah. Dad went off somewhere and had sex with an elf or something. You ain't no Viking. Not at all. You barely a man. But no, you know, it was funny the way he was hitting on his mom. I thought that they could push that a little bit more.
They could have.
Yeah.
I there's little things like that where I was like, you could have pushed this more if you weren't juggling 13 different plot lines.
If you weren't doing all these plot lines. And even the villain, man, I got to say, when the villain came in, I thought Grimmel the Grizzly, who was voiced by F. Murray Abraham.
He's like, you goddamn right.
Yeah, ladies. You like what you hear? But Grimmel the Grizzly, I got to say, when the character first came in, he starts out cool. He's got a cool look. He's got a very, very cool and menacingly, swagger to him, man. And I like the design. He kind of looks like a cross between, I figured it out. I was like, who does he look like? He looks like a cross between Hades from Hercules and Billy Idol.
You
put those two together. I love the design on that character, man. But even after a while, he was just a stock boo-ha-ha villain.
Man, every one of these movies, it's somebody who's got a hard-on for dragons that's coming after them. I was like, I feel like we're getting the same villain every time. He just switches costumes and comes back. But yeah, you're right. When he first shows up, it's kind of like, uh-oh, this guy's going to be a badass. It takes very little time before you're like, you know, he's kind of not that effective.
No.
He doesn't plan as well as he thinks he does.
No.
And I'm not scared of him anymore.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time, because when he starts out, he's like a Bond villain.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's sitting in the dark when Hiccup comes in, he's like, good evening, Mr. Hiccup. got that light in the darkness.
Uh-huh.
He's smoking something. But you know, he comes in. He's very menacing. But after a while, once he starts hooking up with those other side characters and that silly shit kicks in, then the silliness affects him too.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, like you say, he just becomes a more of an opposing presence. a force of nature than an actual character.
Yeah, he's something they have to deal with.
To defeat. Exactly. And that's too bad because that character looks great. I tell you though, what the movie lacks in urgency, as we mentioned earlier, it really makes up. And as for one, I mentioned the emotion. I think that, you know, there's a lot of scenes in there that they do not only right, but they do very well, that pulls you in with the characters that they choose to develop well. But also, they make it up just in scope. I gotta tell you, man, and these movies have always been known for that. Like, you know, the first one, they said, okay, you know what? This one, the first How to Train Your Dragon, this is one of the few movies that I've seen where I don't mind watching it in 3D.
Oh, yeah, no. Of all the movies I've seen, it's one of the best for the scenes where the dragon is flying. It's rare to see 3D work better than that.
But this one, man, this not only has, again, great flying scenes, but just beautiful environments, beautiful imagery. When they get to the hidden world, which they're showing you right here in the trailers, I'm not spoiling anything, it is gorgeous, man. You know, it's you look at this and it's just lavish. So, you know, the colors are so vibrant. I wish I had been able to see something like this on an IMAX screen when they go there. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's almost too much when I say scope, because they got scenes in here where every movie they just increase the numbers of dragons,
right?
Because Hiccup keeps bringing back more dragons, and it's at the point now where the village, it just looked like flies buzzing around shit.
I know. I was like, wait, didn't we start off where there was barely any dragons?
Yeah.
And now we got a dragon infestation.
It's almost like they're pest.
Yeah. They're vermin, because they're gonna consume resources. And you don't have enough to satisfy all this.
No. Somebody got to pull Hiccup aside and say, man, we got to start eating some of these motherfuckers. Yeah. Right, we got to spay and neuter at least.
Oh, no. We have plenty of sheep over the... Oh, I see.
No, they're eating people now. Yeah. I mean, they took my wife. That was cool. But, man, we got to do something. They might get me. You know, you better spay and neuter some of these. We got to take them out back and euthanize them, put a bullet in the back of their head or something. But the scope of the number of dragons that they have in this is amazing. When you see these scenes where it's just it's overstuffed almost with dragon characters of so many different type of species, it's an incredible sight. Visually it's busy, and usually when you say something is visually busy, that's a criticism.
Not here.
No, it's busy in the sense that it's always giving me something to look at.
Yeah.
Always. The musical score with this is something that I really enjoyed, because it went with the scope of some of the scenes. It's a very sweeping score. And I forgot the name of the composer. John Powell. John Powell. Thank you. Thank you, my man. Jesus, this guy and his fucking jokes, man. You want to break it to him, man? It's really not funny, man. No, thank you.
Thanks, Luke.
No, Luke, we just joke. No, that was a big help, and I mean that, man. Thank you so much. And if I miss anything else, please feel free to let me know. This John Powell did a great score to fit the imagery here, man. And I really loved it, man. I was so scared that when I saw these characters, it was going to get wacky and wackier, this score. Mm-hmm. No, it stays to the imagery. It stays to the environments and the scenery. And I will say this, the animation is incredible. I don't know if they had a motion capture involved in this, but the physical acting of this character, of these characters, right down to the body movements to the facial expressions. I thought that they were so expressive. That's one of the reasons why I love the design of Griswold, whatever his name, Grimley.
Yeah, there's something Grimmel about him that reminds me of those Rankin Bass stop motion animation characters.
Yeah, you're right, man. You know what it is? A lot of those, if you ever watch any of these stop motion Rankin Bass features from our shows from back in the day, they always exaggerated people's faces. They were either very round, mm-hmm, or they were very long like that.
And just that look in his eye and everything, the smile.
Yeah. You know what I love about his character, though, is that They did animate him to be an asshole, too. Say what you will about him. There's nothing too much about his character, because his character is like that. He did. It's really comical. It's almost comical. He did one shitty thing. And after that, his goal in life was to be a shittier person after that.
Right.
And there's not much to it after that. No real development. Nothing. It's just like, hey, man, I'm good at one thing, being an asshole. But they animated him so well to fit that.
Uh-huh.
And I love the animation in this. Although there is one sequence in here, and I don't know how you feel about this, Martin, and I was curious to ask you about this, because this was, I was dozing off with this, man. There's one scene, while it's animated very well, it's toothless in the new, what's the Spitfire or the
Night Fury.
Like Night Fury that they have. The female Night Fury, they have a sequence where the mating dance, or the courting sequence, mm-hmm. and it just kind of goes on and on.
Yes, it does.
I mean, this is a long scene, and at this point, I was just sitting in the dungeon like, man, y'all need to get a room or something, because this scene.
Yeah, you gonna fuck her or not? Because you're about to get friend zoned. You keep on with these theatrics, shenanigans.
It was going on so long. I almost start to break this up. He got a woman. He got a girlfriend already. Going out of here. It's so long. I dozed off, and it kept going. And was it me or was I just tired?
Well, I was kind of dozing in myself. be honest, I didn't want to say anything, but now that you fessed up, I might as well admit it. It went on too long, but also, it's been bugging me, but I know I've seen that somewhere before. Mm-hmm. Not exactly that, but something with our character who's not human meeting the female and having the whole dance ritual and like, oh man, you're blowing it. You got to get it together. I wish I could just lock on to which movie it is.
Well,
or movies. Yeah. It's probably been done multiple times.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? I've seen movies that stop with animation set pieces. Some of you might not know what I'm talking about. I might bring up some old references, but I'll bring up a couple anyway. One you might know and one you might not. Sometimes when they stop, it's for the animators to have fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works. If you remember The Wizard's Duel, from Sword in the Stone.
Sure.
It was just a sequence for the animation.
Yeah,
it has nothing.
Yeah, it didn't need to be in the movie other than it was cool.
But it worked.
Yeah.
It's a classic scene. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up. I'll probably even have the editors put it over this discussion so you can see. The other one is another Disney movie, Pocahontas. They had a scene where the dog was chasing the raccoon, mm-hmm. and the movie just stopped to let them just have this little bit of funny business.
Yeah.
Because I almost think the animators just had some ideas for some cool animation. And that's what this seemed like. It fit. It started out kind of cool because, hey, this mating dance is funny. But then they just kept going and going with it. I'm thinking, all right, now it's an animated sequence now. It's not really for the audience.
I felt like they were hoping if we keep doing something, we'll come. We'll figure it out. we'll get a good one. Even though it takes a lot to animate that.
To me, I was saying, man, look, if she ain't gonna fuck you now, she ain't gonna do it at all.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
Just give it up, man. We'll move on to something else.
This girl's playing you.
Yeah.
I actually did have that feeling through a lot of it. I was like, she playing you, man.
Yeah.
She working for that dude.
Yeah. I tell you, though, man, with all that said, though, I have to say that it is the emotional arc of the movie that got me. It is that how it follows through with the theme. One of the things I did love about this is that being the third movie, it followed through with its theme, even though it's a silly, you know, family film leaning towards mostly a kids movie. It followed through with the theme to its difficult end. And you could probably guess what's happening. I'm not going to spell it out for you. But the theme of these movies have always been loss. Now, loss has been Hiccup in the first one, doesn't have his mother. Got his mother back in the second one, but lost his father. It's always been about loss, mainly for Hiccup. And now
lost a leg.
Yeah, he even lost a limb. And you know, now this is dealing with probably the hardest thing for him to have to do. And doing that, you know, having to admit that there's still love for each other, but your lives have gone in two separate directions. you know, I think that's going to get a lot of people, and that's how, and they know what they're doing. That's why they ended the movie with this, because it will, for a lot of people, put a lump in their throats. I was looking at this, and it's like, man, I don't even hang around these two that much, and I'm gonna miss this. You know, it just it was. Look, maybe I wasn't the hugest fan of How to Train Your Dragon, but there was comfort knowing that Hiccup and Toothless had each other. Uh-huh. And you know, I like that they saw it through to the bittersweet end. I'm not as drawn into the movie as I would like to be, but for the parts that did draw me in, those were the parts that really counted. And you know, and even though they meant it mostly for laughs, I did get some really good deep moments in here, and I did laugh at some of the moments they wanted to. I just think that it was missing this, you know, just a little bit of suspense, just some. So therefore, I can't go a full price. But I can give it a strong matinee. I still think it works great for kids. I still think, you know, for adults, there's going to be moments in there. Like I said, it will pull after your heart, and it will work in those most important moments.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought when they get to the Lost World.
I did say strong matinee, right?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When they get to the Lost World, the hidden world. Matter of fact, they made a big point of saying the hidden world. Seriously, the rep sent us that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's in the email. It's like when you talk about this movie, make sure you list it as How to Train Your Dragon, the hidden world. Oh. Don't just put hidden world, the hidden world.
Okay.
Yes. Anyway, the hidden world is beautiful and it's really impressive. I so wish we could have spent more time there because. I mean, you get to it and you're like, all right, money shot. This is what this is all about. Mm-hmm. You're not there for very long, which is too bad because it's the thing I found the most impressive about the movie. And it's probably the only thing I was actually impressed with. And the things you talk about being good are good. The score, the animation, no complaints whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And they up the ante. And still within that, I can see within this movie that it's relying heavily on everyone's love of dragons to begin with, like with dinosaurs, and the cuteness of Toothless, and their love of the love affair between Toothless and Hiccup, and just really so much about the cuteness of it, and then everything else I feel they were just completely lazy on. Everything else, I was like, man, yeah, there's no suspense because of how they undercut it. But also, almost every element of this movie, story-wise and just writing-wise, I'm like, yeah, this was taken from this movie. Mm-hmm. This came from that. That's a trope that's been done so many times.
Can I ask you what movies that you saw, and just out of curiosity, what movies you saw that was pulling from?
It's, it's a lot of other animated movies to the point, and I wish I could give you a list of the ones, because if I sat there and had some time to think, I go like, okay. Because the whole time I was like, this just feels too familiar, but not like it's all one movie, just from different pieces. And it could be pieces that had been taken from other things to where every part of this was just so predictable. And I was, after we had that cut that bitch off, who said, like, yeah, not as good as the first one, but better than the second one. I'm like, I don't know if it was better than the second one. I like that it wasn't just a remake of the first one because it was doing some different things, but it's different things just from other movies. Too much time on the side characters that wasn't well planned. It's very sequel-y, except that they were like, hey, but it doesn't matter as long as we're going to show a beautiful lost world and we're going to stick the landing with the inevitable conclusion, which they do. They know how to tie a bow on it. And so it doesn't feel so much like an obligation, but it felt like more of a, we know what we have to do, and we have a deadline to meet, and it doesn't even matter if we work hard on this other part, because we're gonna get these three things done, and everybody's going to be happy. And that's fine for them. I found it to be not all that pleasurable of an experience. It's a low matinee for me.
Low man, you have a way with.
I know.
Well, no, I'm saying that's good. You surprised me because I was like, that sounded like a rental.
I take it back. For me, it is a rental. It's a high rental. But considering that it is a kids' movie, that is doing a good job of targeting its audience,
Because, mm-hmm. yeah, there, I could hear grown people in there who were mm-hmm. emotional about things. And I'm like, you know what? It's not working on me at all, but I respect that you're getting that reaction. That's the reason I'm giving it a low matinee. Also, okay. it is that kind of movie where, look, if you're going to go see it, it should be in a theater where it's big because it has a big scope.
Yep. You're definitely right about that. Definitely right about that. Damn. You hear all that creaking? Shit, I thought a dragon was coming in here. Did you say about my movie? No. So not bad. Not bad at all. Matinees all around.
Yeah. Barely.
Barely. Marley, not deep inside. Not for me.
This is a new kind of enemy. We need to find the hidden world.
I will destroy everything you love.
Toothless! No!
You see, Mayburn.
You're nothing without your dragon.